I'm broken, I am anchored. Been cut down and I'm lifted up. I feel love when I'm in harvest word assembly.
Welcome to Harvest Word Assembly.
The cloud is right. Hallelujah. Let's open to Ephesians 1. So Ephesians 4. We start from verse 7 to 15. Ephesians 4, 7 to 15. And multimedia just have Colossians 1 and verse 29 on standby. Colossians 1 and verse 29 on standby. But we start with Ephesians 4, 7 to 15. Hallelujah. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, hallelujah. When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gift unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Hallelujah. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, Christ, even Christ. Hallelujah. So you see, that very last verse we're looking at, verse 15, the Bible says that when all is said and done, the expectation is that we grow up into him in all things. Somebody say all things.
All things.
All things. God wants us to grow into Christ in every facet of our lives. God wants us to be a manifestation of Christ everywhere and anywhere we find ourselves. And the requirement for that is that we grow. Colossians 1 and verse 29. Colossians 1 and verse 29. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh, that's not the scripture actually, sorry. I don't know why I got that mixed up somehow. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, I got that mixed up in my notes. So, Christ wants us to grow. And you know, Pastor Agnes was teaching this morning, let's celebrate her for a mighty word that she dropped. You know, I said this morning that when I come to preach, I have to put off my shoe too. So know that I'm in the spirit. Because if your shoe is on, you're not in the spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, she was speaking about how when she first gave her life to Christ, so many things were happening for her, right? And how many of us can relate to that? We're all on this cloud nine. Things were fine. You know, before we prayed, God answered, right? While we're here sleeping, God just came before us. You know, I can remember very vividly what I had this one experience. I've lost my phone before I gave my life to Christ in school. They stole my phone. And after I gave my life to Christ, I was just loving God on my own. And somebody came and returned back the phone. The person came to return the phone. But guess what happened? I actually gave that phone out. Or did I sell it? Yes, it was a BlackBerry at the time. It was a BlackBerry. You know, at that time, I was so engrossed in God that I felt that the BlackBerry chat would just distract my attention.
So when they even returned the phone, I sold it. Hallelujah. What we need to recognize is this. Scripture teaches that we are perfect in Christ, right? Hallelujah. We are perfect in Christ, but we are not fully matured in Christ. Let me explain. When a baby is born, the baby has all the complete features of the human, right? But is that baby fully matured? That speaks to our perfect spirit. The moment you give your life to Christ, that spirit that God has put in you is perfect. But our expression of it, the manifestation of the Spirit of God that is in us, needs to grow. So, the first thing to recognize is this. We are perfectly formed in Christ, but we are not fully matured in Christ. So, that's why the Bible is teaching that there is room to grow. You see, a lot of us ask ourselves, I have been on this Christian journey for a number of years, 1 year, 2 years. I had that initial space in my life for that first few months, years. Some people spans even up to a year or two. I think Pastor Wagner even said 3 years. Glory. You know, that honeymoon phase, I call it the honeymoon phase. You know? And you know, before you wake up, God has spoken to you. My daughter, I love you. You know, and we get fixated in that and fail to realize the gap for growth. Yes, sir. And we struggle. You see, a lack of growth in a Christian life is an aberration. Okay. A lack of growth in a Christian life. Pastor Omi said English, so I'm trying to break it down. A life of growth in a Christian life is abnormal. You see, everything in life, everything in nature is wired for growth. You see, God used nature to speak to us about the eternal things. I mean, a child is born, we don't expect that child to be in kindergarten all the rest of his life, right? At a point in time, we expect that child to move to what? To nursery one, to nursery two, right? To primary one, right? And your money keeps increasing, hallelujah. Glory. Glory. So, God expects that we mature. The same way we don't expect, you know, I'm using my analogy as a father, a son, a child, a father. The same way we don't expect our children to remain the same way they were is the same way God doesn't expect us to remain the same way we are. And so many of us will say, oh, God's love, God accepts me the way I am. God loves actually demands that we grow. You see, the same way the desire for my son is that as he spends his time in school, he moves to the next class. It's the same way God's desire is that what? We grow. I mean, I can't desire that much as a human for my son, I being with all my faults. And God desire less of us. So growth is God's demand for our lives. Growth is God's requirement for us. Growth is God's expectation for us. You see, it is not enough to come and sit down in church. It is not enough to have that time when pastor comes and pray to you as much as it's good. It's not enough. God expects that you grow. You see, the Christian and the gospel is wired in two facets. All of the gospel is in two aspects. Nothing more, nothing less. Number one, get the lost saved and get the saints matured. That's the gospel. Any other thing is added onto it. The gospel is that we get the lost saved. And we get what? The saints, the saved, what? Matured in Christ. Let's open Hebrews. Hebrews 5 and verse 12. Let's look at it. Hebrews 5 and verse 12. Let's look at it a little closely. I'll read all the way to verse 14. For
For the time ye ought to be teachers.
You see that? Ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And have become as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Next verse. For everyone that is uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Next verse. But strong meat belongs to them that are full of age, and even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So you see, in the beginning, Adam went for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But right now, and that was wrong. I mean, I can go into another part of that, but that's not necessary. But what God requires now is that as we grow in Him, as we get matured, we will get to the point where we can by ourselves discern good and evil. You see, the Bible says that at that day, there will be no one that needs to teach his brother, go do this, do that, do this. But the Spirit in us will bear witness with us. That is the matured believer. And you see that this picture says that there is a state where we are, that we are babies in Christ. But God expects that we go beyond that stage. So let's talk about the three levels of maturity for a believer. The three levels of maturity for a believer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm just going to skip through things so we can get into the meat. Okay. Let's open 1 John 2, verse 12. 1 John 2, 12. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. I'll read all the way to 18. 1 John 2, 12. Okay. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Hallelujah. Stay there, please. So, as children, the first thing we see is that our sins are what? Forgiven. You know, if you read chapter 6 of Hebrews, starting from verse 1 all the way to verse 4, it's a continuum of what was spoken of. You don't need to go there. Of what was spoken of in chapter 5, right? That we are to mature, right? And we can get to a point we can discern right and evil. It now starts to speak of the basic things that we should have known. And it says of righteousness unto good works. And it says of the ministry of the laying on of hands. And I look at the body of Christ today, and it seems like those are only the things that we bask in. This is not to undermine or belittle those things. No. But it's to bring us to a place where we are responsible for our faith. To bring us to a place where sin and the sin consciousness has no dominion over us. So when you still think about sin and you still think about, oh, I'm doing wrong, what did I do? Just know your state. It's the first state. It's called being a babe. Next verse. Let me just run through that quickly. I write unto you fathers. They are fathers. There is a level that is fathers. I symbolize that as the level of maturity. Because you have known him that is from the beginning. Imagine what you used to characterize fathers. Knowing Christ. As in just having to know him is the... I mean, I thought you would say fathers because you have built 10,000 cathedrals. Or I thought you would say fathers because he has raised the 15 people that are dead. He says, you that I would call fathers, mature people, you are people that have walked with him and have known him for this long while. I write unto you young men. There's a category called young men. We're going to speak to that a little deeply and look at what, how I can identify where I am on this, all of these categories. Because you have overcome the wicked one, I write unto you little children. Because you have known the Father. So you see, young men overcome. Young men take territories for Christ. Let's move on. Let's stop there. So speaking of the levels of development as in our spiritual walk, the first one is what we call the baby level.
And we looked at Hebrews 5 and verse 14, you know, all the way from verse 12 to 14. We looked at that. And these are things that speak of that babyhood stage of a Christian life. Number one is ignorance. Notice it never said of the father, or it never said of the children, that what? That they know, that you get, they are not established in truth. We looked at it in Hebrews 5, and it says that these people are tossed like this. You know, you look at Colossians, say, I mean, in 1 Corinthians, it says, those tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. That's Hebrews, Ephesians 5, pardon me. The next thing we see is that they are irritable. You see, when somebody, you do like this, and the person just reacts, he speaks that they're a baby. People that do not have their flesh tempered, every single thing makes them sad. Every little thing makes them angry. This speaks of what? I mean, you take something from Adeo Lute now. What will you say? That's what they will do. So, a babyhood stage of Christianity, of our maturity, speaks of being irritable. The final characteristics of a babyhood stage is that they are talkatives. It takes maturity to temper the tongue. So James teaches us in James chapter 3 that, see, this true state of a mature believer is his ability to what? To tame his tongue. You can see that in James 3 and verse 2. So, what is the next level? Oh, pardon me. Sorry, that's a mix-up. That was actually for being the next... That was for being a child. For the last key or the last mark of babyhood is innocence. Now, this is the only one character that we shouldn't leave in our maturity. Even when you become fully matured, you shouldn't leave that innocence. That openness to God. That, my father, I'm tired. That sincerity of heart. Those things shouldn't be things that we should live as we mature in the faith. The next thing is the childhood stage. Ephesians 4 and verse 14 speaks of that as well. And it says that the childhood stage speaks of someone that is unstable. Someone that is tossed to and fro. You know, let me give you an example. I mean, Pastor Omi can relate to this better. You tell, maybe you are leaving the house and you tell Joel or Joshua that do you know what? Pack those clothes before I come back. And you're just maybe stepping out of the house to maybe go and buy something. And where you say, Mommy, yes, yes, yes. So they are going to do it. They are doing it, eh? But all of a sudden, Joel starts shooting water gun. What happens? He will leave it and what? And go and run with Joel. That's a child. They are unstable. So when we see that in our faith, and we are in a level where we are here today, we are here tomorrow, it speaks that we are a child. The next one, or the next characteristics of being a child, is that what? They are curious. They are what? They are curious. They are always looking for the next fab. Who is the next person that is preaching that everybody is listening to? They are always, I saw this thing online, let me look at it. They are curious. They are not established in the truth of God's word. And finally, they are talkative. They may seem like, they have things figured out, but they talk too much. Hallelujah. What are the final stage? That's the stage of maturity. What speaks to that stage is that they are able to recognize the work of God at hand. What speaks to that stage is that you are able to what? Recognize when God is at work. Why? Again, look at what we read in 1 John. He said that what? They have known me for a while. Let me give us a simple example. Remember the story of Samuel and Eli? When God came to call Samuel, and Samuel went to Eli thinking it was Eli calling him, and he came the second time and the third time. And by the third time, Eli said, no, I know what's going on here. My ear might be dull, but I know what's going on here. And he says what? The next time he calls you, says what? Yeah, I am. Speak to me. Your servant hear it.
So that speaks to a matured believer. They're able to sense when they're able to sense the move of the Spirit. And I don't want to use that too esoterically to say when God is going to move and people will fall down. No. They're able to sense when there is a shift. They're able to sense when something is about to happen in their life. And they're able to reposition themselves to that. They're able to sense when God requires them to stop what they are doing and move on. That's a matured believer. The next thing that characterizes a matured believer is they esteem earthly things lightly. They esteem earthly things what? Likely. They are not, you know, it's not a function of what they have that don't have that makes them endear to God. Let me put it this way. They have an eternal or a kingdom perspective to life. They don't see their being at work just to earn money, get a good job, pay your school fees or pay your children's school fees. They see there is an internal purpose for that. They see that there are souls that God has assigned and earmarked for salvation that is hinged on them being in that office. They have an eternal perspective to life. And finally, they are dead to the praises of men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They are dead to the praises of men. What you say or don't say doesn't move them. They are not frazzled. Why? They are established in Christ. They are established in the truth of God's word. They know who they are, like what Pastor Agnes was teaching us this morning. They know who they are in Christ. This speaks of what? A matured believer. Hallelujah. So, we're going to look at why grow? Why grow? I'm going to give us two major reasons. There are quite a number, but I'm going to give us two major reasons because of time. The first one is the growth manifestation connection. There is a connection between your growth and what? Your manifestation. You see, I wrote three things while I was writing and I was meditating on this subject. And it just dropped. It says, God will never announce a man he cannot trust. You might need to write that down. God will never announce a man he cannot trust. A mentor of mine in school used to say something back then. He says, Kenny, God will trust you. Oh, sorry. God will test you before he can entrust you, or before he can trust you. But when he trusts you, he entrusts things in your hand. And simply put, God will never announce. God will never use a man. He cannot what? So there's a deep connection between our growth in Christ and our what? Manifestation. Listen to this next one. God will never use a man he has not proven. So we are crying, God use me. God, announce me. Let this my job that I know, put me there. Let me be the spotlight. Bless the work of man. You see, God will never use a man that he has not what? Proven. The last statement that dropped in my meditation was, our manifestation as sons depends on our growth in Christ. Our manifestation as sons depends on what? Our growth in Christ. Hallelujah. I wish I preached a more fiery message this morning. Yeah? A more faith kind of message. Hallelujah. But Pastor has been teaching a lot on that now, so let's get a different vibe. Let's look at Philippians 3, verse 10 to 14. Philippians 3, verse 10 to 14. Okay. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I have already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, I forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. So Paul is telling us that there is never a point in my life, in my walk, that I think I've reached. You see, when you look at this man's life, this was before the time he went and planted churches in all of Asia. Sorry, this was after the time he went and planted churches in all of Asia. This was after the time that the old Gentile world was turned upside down, according to what the scripture says, by his ministry. And he comes to tell me that, see, I have not yet reached what I'm looking for. There is something I am looking for, and there is a deep depth knowledge of God that I'm trying to attain to, that I am pressing for, that I have not gotten. Let's look at 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. Let's look at the end of this man's life. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Let me calm down. Is it coincidence that the man who was always pressing to attain more in God was the person that what? That finished his race. You see, when we are looking at it in Philippians, it says that I pressed towards the mark. Ah! See, that guy, you know, I told you a sign of mature people, they are eternity conscious. They are kingdom minded. The guy that said, I press towards the mark, was the guy that came back and said what? I finished my race. So if, as a believer, we are not pressing to know, when I say know, it's not just textbook knowledge, to get to know God more experientially, to have the fullness of Christ be established in us, the chances of which we will fulfill our assignment in life is slim. In fact, it's almost impossible. Because as we know more of Him, the Bible says, as we behold of Him, we are translated from what? Glory to glory. As we behold of Him, as we come to know Him, as we fellowship with Him, to experience and know Him more, guess what happens? Our life manifests more. So, Moses was on the mountain with Christ, with God, for 40 days. And he came back, and they couldn't behold his face. Why? For the glory of God that was shining from him. There is a glory locked up on your inside, but it's tied to your maturity in Christ. You see, Romans 8, I think it's verse 10, says, the world awaits the endless manifestations of what? This. So, and you know, if you read further in that scripture, it says that, it's telling us that, Paul started to say that, even me, I have not fully apprehended this thing that everybody's waiting. Most people don't know that. That it wasn't just the old world. Paul in that scripture says that we as believers, we have not fully embraced. We have not. We are looking at it like there's something happening. There's something about to happen. I can see it there. There's something. And the only way to get to that something is not keep saying there's something happening in my life. Woo! Glory, 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 glory. I got the fire of God on my inside. No, no, no. He says, the way to go for that is you press. You press. So the first requirement for, or the first reason for this, our growth in Christ, is that it is largely tied to our manifestation. If we do not grow, you see, we can get the blessings. But the blessings is not the manifestation. Now, let me break it home. By my language of blessing, I'm using our Nigerian understanding of blessing. God will give you car. God will give you a house. You hammer. That's what I mean, no. So, let's clarify. So don't think that the blessing means that God bless you, I won't manifest again. No. But the true blessing in itself, you know, is beyond that. Because if you listen and you look deep into the life of the prodigal son got everything his father gave him. But the other son that didn't get nothing, the father said, you have always been with me. All that I have is yours. So there is a knowing of God that every other thing is just added. So for the other guy, he's trying to get those things. For this guy, you're around me. See, you can go and take it. No one bear. Is there, is mine, is yours. You know, that's the covenant. The covenant says, what is mine is yours. What is yours is mine. Your war is my war. Imagine if God is fighting for you. That's the covenant. So, our quest for manifestation is not a quest to hammer. It's a quest to know Him. In that is the full manifestation of us as believers. You see, if it's to hammer, Bill Gates is not a believer. If it's to hammer, Jeff Bezos is not a believer. You can't hammer more than them. A man in 1 year grew from 70 billion to how many billion again? 200 billion. Not naira. So if our quest to hammer or our quest to manifest is to hammer, we can't beat that guy. So there is more. There is eternal life. You see, John 17 and verse 3 says, and this is eternal life, that you might know Him. Do you want to bring that scripture up for me? John 17 and verse 3. Hallelujah. And this is eternal life. This is life eternal. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Christ, whom thou art sent. We have eternal life. Let me move quickly. The next reason for growth is that a lack of growth will allow for the decadence and influence of the enemy. You know, I don't think anybody has ever seen. Me, I have not seen. When you have fry plan hot and flies come on it, have you ever seen? Maybe you have seen in your village. Maybe it's one village that those things kind of happen there, but in Africa. And the fly is alive. But I have never seen. When you have fry pan horn, and what happens? Flies come and perch on it. A life and a person that is growing in Christ would have very little oppressions of the enemy. The reason why the devil has a few days in our life, why today you gave your life to Christ that day and you are all on cloud nine, flying on eagle's wings. There's one day I literally felt I was flying. No, I'm not joking. I literally felt like I was flying. I don't know whether it's literally because my eye was closed. You know? And to that point where you ask yourself, am I still in the faith? What gravitates a believer from that to that is that believer Kim thinks and feels that because his life is moving at this pace, because his life is moving that parallel line, it will continue to move that way. I tell you, there is ever a tendency, because we are living on this earth, for gravity to pull it down. I can't sustain my hand this long this way. If I keep doing this for 1 hour, 30 minutes, what will happen? No matter how matured I am, it will start to what? Come down. But there is that man that is doing this. And he's pushing to the point where gravity doesn't have a hold on him again. That man, you see, the prince of the power of the air cannot influence him. Because he's beyond the air. That is the man that all this, I go under depression today, I wake up under depression tomorrow, what happened to you? But that man that is like this, you know, sometimes you are even consciously doing like this. You are consciously doing like this. That man, you know, will face a lot of troubles. We face a lot of troubles. Hallelujah. Let's move. I need to round off. So, what's the final product? You know, Ephesians 5, Ephesians 4 that we read earlier. Let me just read from verse 13 to 15. From verse 13 to 15. It says, till we come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. See that again? Unto a perfect man. I'm talking about the finished product now. I'm talking about what? The finished product. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Next verse. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Next verse. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up. Say grow up.
Grow up.
Say grow up.
Grow up.
Say grow up.
Grow up.
You know, jab your neighbor and say grow up.
Grow up.
Grow up.
Grow up.
Grow up.
Grow up.
You know, in verse 13, he said the perfect man, right? But he now came to verse 14 and 15 and said what? Grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So what is the finished product? Number one, the holy man. You know, there's an aberration in our age. We know the fire of the Holy Ghost, but we don't know the holiness of the Holy Ghost. He's called what? The Holy Spirit. One of the deepest and the wildest dimension of God is what? Holiness. And it speaks of, see, the only thing and the only being in all of creation that can speak only is God. He tells that, I mean, that speaks of the Trinity of the Holy Spirit himself. And it says that this Holy Spirit abides in you. With the Holy Spirit produce a callous man. Hallelujah. Like Christ in holiness. The next area of the finished work is the gift of the Spirit. The manifestation of the gift of the Spirit. You see, the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit are gifts quite all right. They don't speak to maturity, but it actually speaks of a matured believer. You see, what makes iron sharpen iron is that that which God has engraced you with is also a form of ministry to me. And that which God has engraced me with is also a form of what? Is are many among you? Does one have a prophecy? Does one have a psalm? Does one have a word of encouragement? That's how church should be. That's how what? That's how church should be. Now, there's the excess, oh. There are two extremes. There's the excess that we just speak of, the old gift of the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit. No, you gotta prophesy, my brother. No, you gotta move. There's another extreme that says, oh no, we must all have the fruit of the Spirit in us. We must live a life of patience. We don't need all those manifestations. God is always in the balance. Because as God expects that we grow in our manifestations of the gift, because you see Paul comes to the church in Romans 1, and he says that, I desire to come to you that I might impact upon you spiritual gifts. So you see, there is a necessity for spiritual gifts. If not, the Bible would not speak of it. The next thing is that we are to grow in the fruits of the Spirit. You see, the reason why they are fruits is because they ought to grow. Fruit ought to what? So we ought to grow. We as believers, you know, we do all these things in our workplace, HR, your workplace awareness, your personality skills. Am I right, Pastor Wumi? All those things. You need to do your gift of the Spirit assessment every year. How loving are you on a scale of 1 to 10? Don't ask yourself, ask your friend. and ask your wife. How patient have you been on a scale of 1 to 10? You see, God wants us to demonstrate the gift of faith. But you see, hidden in all of those things, Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. He didn't say it is the manifestation. You see, what the manifestation will do is to attract them. The manifestation what? Attracts them. But what is the identity of Christ? Is hidden in those things. Oh, don't belittle them. Don't belittle them. The next area of growth is faith. You must grow in faith. In 2 Thessalonians 3, I think. Yeah, 3. Something. Okay, 2 Thessalonians 1, 3. Yes, 1, 3. It says that our faith may exceedingly what? Grow. So God wants our faith to what? To grow. Pastor Agnes was speaking to that this morning. God wants our faith to what? Grow. He wants our faith to grow. Grow in Him. Grow in our faith in Him. And finally, our love. We are to grow in love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can't be the house of refuge and the city of refuge if we're not growing in love, right? We must grow in love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's close. There are two things I'll try and close with in the next 10 minutes. Right? 10 minutes. In the next 10 minutes. I'll just try and close with those ones. I'll jump some things. That is a good one. Let's talk about the growth seizure. There is a tendency to have this happen. And I have had this happen in my life more often than not, even quite recently. You know, seizure means something is going and all of a sudden there's a stop, right? It ceases. Blood stops rushing to the brain, right? And the person starts convulsing, right? Then all of a sudden the person is now normal. God doesn't want that for us as believers. He doesn't want us to have that high moment and low moment. No. God's intention, not our experience, so God's intention is that the path of the righteous man will shine what? Brighter and brighter unto a perfect day. So God wants you to grow ever more. Let's look at Revelation 3. Let's look at the picture of the growth seizure. Revelation 3:15. I'll read from verse 15 to 18. Kale brado shikalibri de gede balaba. Ziliri alabala shikitilibri de. Zani kutufi kia lebrar shika. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I would spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou seest, I am rich, and increaseth with goods. Listen, church. You know, one of the instruments of the word of God is for doctrine, for instruction, for reproof. Eh? So let's listen to what God is saying. Because thou seest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Is that not all we're looking for? And knowest not that thou art wretched, God's perspective, and miserable, God's perspective. See the heavy words. And poor, and blind, and naked. Hey. I mean, sometimes when we talk about God, it's not the way the Bible is actually painting it. See those words. This is Jesus. He appeared to John and he said, these people are naked. They are blind. They feel they have it, but they have nothing. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire. We're going to speak of that shortly. that thou mayest be rich. I thought they were rich. I thought they had it going for them. I thought they had need of nothing. These are the givers in church. Oh. Doesn't mean if you're a giver in church, you're in this category, please. Don't get me wrong. And white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint your eyes with eye clave, I be eye slave, that thou mayest what? See. See the spiritual state of a church. He started by saying, I know your works. That means they had things that, you know, the Bible says that we should do the good works, right? They had things they were doing right, man. But they came to the other aspect, and it was like they are just consumed with the lust of the things of the world. Remember I told you that one of the signs of a true believer, not that God doesn't want you to be rich, please don't get me wrong, is that you have no attachment to earthly things. These guys, what the corruption that came into them was the attachment to earthly things. So what that corruption did was that it started to make them go like this. And the Bible said, God said, I will spew you out. I don't like the person that is not hot and not cold. See God's idea. So when you feel that you are just comfortable, you are being a, what's that word again we use? Nomad Christian. I'll be what they call it. Eh? Nominal Christian, yes. You are being a nominal Christian. This is God's perspective. That we are hot. We are ever increasing in faith. We are ever increasing in love. We are ever increasing in our works. We are ever increasing in greater works. Hallelujah. Glory. So let's wrap up. As we look at the ministry of the fire and water. Numbers 31, verse 21 to 23. Numbers 31. Numbers 31. Thank you. And Eleazar the priest said unto the men of war which went to the battle, this is the ordinance of the law which the Lord commanded Moses. Only the gold and the silver and the brass, the iron, the tin, and the lead. Everything that may abide the fire, ye shall make it go through the fire, and it shall be cleansed. Nevertheless, it shall be purified with the water of separation. And all that abideth not the fire, ye shall make go through the water. We are talking about what? The ministry of what? The fire and what? The water. This sounds like a Olukoya teaching. Hallelujah. What does this speak to? The instrument to which God matures us are in those dimensions. He would mature us by his fire. And he will mature us by what? The ministry of what? Water. Now, what is the fire? The fire speaks of the Holy Ghost. Luke 3, verse 16 to 17 says, and he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire, and he will purge, thoroughly purge. He will shake out the chaff from the wheat in your life. When he comes in, you remove those things that would make that aberration for this kind of a yo-yo Christian life and cause the life to be what? To be whole. So, the Holy Ghost comes in with a purging effect. I was in church very recently, and the Holy Ghost purged me. I just said it in my spirit. And I got a relief. And I was delivered. You see, most times, we like the Holy Spirit for that manifestation part. But the primary role of the Holy Spirit is to help us grow in our faith, to teach us all things, to bring to light the things which Christ has spoken to us. So the Holy Ghost in us, the Holy Spirit in us, by his dealings and workings, will start to point out things and purge us in areas where we have defects. And you know, like fire, it takes out those defects. To what is standing is what? Is a mature believer. You see? That's why Paul said he keeps pressing. Because you will get to a day you think, no, I can't now. Emike. But all of a sudden, what happens? You start to see the manifestations of the flesh. And you thought, I thought I had tamed this thing. I thought I'd lived out my first two Christian lives without having to experience these thoughts of, you know, chasing after girls and all of these kind of things. I thought the first 3 months of my Christian life, I didn't have to watch any pornography. What is happening now? But as we submit and surrender to the ministry of the Holy Ghost, what he starts to do in our hearts is to purge. He purges. He purges. He purges. He purges. He purges. You see, the symbolism of the believer in the New Testament is a living sacrifice. Now, characteristics of sacrifices are number one, like Isaac, they tie your hand. Holy sakuro. But the difference is that a living sacrifice has the opportunity to break loose and leave the altar. So that's why I said submitting and submitting, subjecting to the purging of what? The Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Proverbs 25 and verse 4. Let's just look at that very quickly. I love that scripture. Proverbs 25 and verse 4. When I said the Holy Spirit purged me, it was this scripture, it just beamed in my heart. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Let's look at a more contemporary version. Amplified or something. NLT, I think. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth the material for a vessel for the silversmith to work with. So when you take out the dross, God can work with your life. You know, we are trying to build and to plant when we have not pulled down, destroyed, uprooted. So take away, okay, there's another one. Remove the impurities from silver, and the sterling will be ready for the silversmiths. Let's look at the ministry of the water, the word of God. That's the water. I'll jump that one. Ephesians 5, verse 25 to 28. I'll just leave that. Okay. For husbands, this means love your wife just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her. Next verse. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by Lord. So a believer that doesn't study the word, how can you be cleansed? How can we be cleansed? You see, I'm dealing with those things that make us have this thing. You see, if we take out these things, it's easy for God to use our lives. If the that which can be purged by the fire is not poured by the fire, and that which can be poured by the water is poured by, until you have the combination of those two working in your life part time, you can't come to a place where God can use your life. And we want to manifest. This is our year of what? This is our year of what? Greater works. And God will have us know this morning that greater works is dependent on growth. We must grow. We must grow into Christ in all things. Hallelujah. So let's stand as we pray for a minute. Zalebrodo Shekalabrada.